us now. You have network today. If you haven't tried it, try it now or during the break. But now we have very amazing discussions. The first is with the storyteller from Gaza, Bissan Oudo, with whom we will have an interview about her career path, about her storytelling journey, and to listen to her interview. Go to the sessions. Is we have reception stage. Underneath, we have sessions, people and expo. Click on sessions, and you will see the social coordinator with Sanada. But here on the stage, we'll be talking about the Palestinian collective psychology of the Palestinians that create trauma. And of course, this is predetermined, and it is the spark and catalyst that creates trauma that leaves the Palestinian society weak. And to deal with the methodological. So what is our role? The answers to this, and of course to others, of course we are very interested in your answer, in your answer. So the attorney Reem El Khaldi will be the moderator. She was born and raised in the diaspora and has legal PhD and worked as the assistant prosecutor for prosecuting domestic violence and child abuse and many other things I would like to talk about, Dream, but to better use the time, she can add whatever she would like, and also to allow to give her the space to introduce the guests and to give her the space. Hello, Reem. Thank you very much, Sabir. Hi. Hello to all those who are present here with us today. Peace be upon you and a blessed Friday. My name is Reem El Khaldi, just as Sabir said, and today we have a chat about with two Palestinian women with whom you will fall in love with, and you will learn a lot from. What does collective healing mean, and what does healing have to do with freedom and liberation, and what does this have to do with our life as Palestinians, as citizens of this world? Anna, I have come to you from Orlando, Florida. This land that I have come to you is the indigenous, is the land of the indigenous Americans who are called Tumakua, and I would like to tell you this so that we remember that our healing as Palestinians, as human beings, is linked to all of the humans, all the generations, and is linked to our liberation. That's why I wanted to start with this remembrance, because us as Palestinians, our healing, how our healing can change other people around the world and who are under occupation. Or going through any injustices. So I would like to begin, or before I begin, I would like to tell you that this session will be 45 minutes. And the last 10 minutes, we will leave to any questions. So I would like to introduce you to Leila. She comes, Leila Atshan, who has come to us from Ramallah. Her and her family is one of the refugee families. 1948. She's a psychologist from Northwest University and is now working with UNICEF and has worked with many other organizations throughout her life and always works towards the liberation of Palestine and the Palestinian society and community. She has worked with Red Cross, Red Crescent. And she also had a TED Talk called, or titled, Keep the Candle Lit. So welcome, Leila. We also have Ashira. She is the founder and the head of the Catharsis Healing Center. She is a yoga instructor and she is a healer. I'm not sure how to translate the word healer, but she gives light and healing to other people. Hello, Ashira. So my first question is, what does healing mean to you? So the healing journey differs from one person to another. So if you can tell us a little about what does healing mean and your journey with healing. Leila, you go first. So to me personally, healing is to understand who this person is, where they come from, and where this pain is coming from, and what obstacles within me come, and to accept or make amends with the past. So to be survivors and not victims, as persons, individuals, or communities. So as a person, if I am able to face my reality, my past, and the things that have caused me pain, and not just to be a survivor, but also to transfer the thing that I wanted, to support others. I don't know if that makes sense. This is if I were to talk about this from a personal level. Thank you very much. Yes. Hello, everyone. My name is Ashira. My path to become someone called a healer began with my personal healing, with self-healing. I was working in journalism, well, until now, for 15 years. And what led me to this work is that I was born in Cyprus, but I lived my childhood here. And my first arrest was when I was 16 years old. And this was my first experience that changed my path, that wanted to be, from a person who wanted to be in music, to someone who wants to work in journalism. And my life in journalism began. And then Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch. And it was all an attempt to collective healing with any work that I can do to help anyone who is going through this or living the circumstances we are living. And I felt from all of the experiences of journalism, I was trying to help, but the available tools to assist were tools from the occupier, the settler, and how they want me to go into the law and to prove that there was a genocide after it has done. And I think we have surpassed them. So I think that my experience what gave me passion, and it subjected me to a lot of trauma. And I began my physical healing because I had an injury, and my injury was that I broke my neck in the village of Nabi Sal, and I began to have mobility in my left side, and the Western doctors said that there is no solution. And they told me I had to do inner healing that I am still on. But that experience that I went through against my will, so a soldier wrapped his arm around my neck and broke two discs in my neck, and it was something that was extraordinary for someone who was so active and energetic, who was always moving. So I had to search. There's something stronger than us that can help us. And I also have self-strength, eating, meditation, and going back to the Western tools, because the West wasn't giving me any other options. Treatment through fasting, food, meditation, prayers, meditation from the morning to the evening, until I reached a place where I can hold my neck. And this was my dream. And the doctors kept telling my mother that I need a psychologist so as to understand and comprehend. I won't be able to walk. And I went through a special surgery to be able to do this. So this self-healing helped me go through this and go through the self or the and the constant conflict and constant trauma, because there are no breaks for the nervous system. And when I had to take this break and to deal with the consequences of the traumas, the existing traumas, and since that journey, I left working with Amnesty and I went to India to self-healing, because I saw that it was very important. And it awakened so much of the self-trauma, and I went through many experiences in India, in Peru. I was introduced to many cultures, and what was interesting was that I discovered that they have taken so much from what is ours, and we have everything. But this trip just taught me that we have everything. Reem is saying, can you give us an example as a Palestinian that helped you in this path to healing? So Ashira is saying resilience, which is not just living and eating, but the collective state that was in the places that I went to where I had my injury. So it's the structure. You are with people who believe in the same thing. We would go home from protests happy, even though we were beaten. And also the Palestinian dance, Dabka. And when I learned something from the Bedouin children and healing with children, we saw how important it is for them to be in the desert and their own dances and to remain there. And nothing would send them to live in the concrete buildings. We have many things in our culture and traditions, and the collective culture that would help us to continue to be present. And there is a constant state. And resistance exists still, even though there is fear that is trying to kill this spirit. So there are some things that I am using from abroad, but the main thing is what I found here. This is what I did. I merged and I worked with the liberated detained women. And I worked with the wonderful organization here for children who are after trauma, post-trauma, with therapy. So many of these tools that are existing. and also other things from abroad that help us, and also people who are knowledgeable and aware of the situation and circumstances that we are in, and how we are constantly under the attempt of being eradicated, like the natives. So they also have the knowledge to help us continue and to network with them. Your work is amazing and helps this community. And for the entire community, this is what I wanted to talk a little more about. How can individual healing lead to the welfare of the community? So can we end with you, Leila? You and I, Leila, spoke yesterday about connection. And I think that connection is part of this individual healing and how it impacts our healing as a collective. So if I understood your question correctly, individual healing and collective healing intertwine, are very important. We all have history and a reality where there were many challenges that are. So in my situation, I have challenges in Ashita's situation, there are situations, but this takes us into different directions in our life. But also, I believe that when we're us as individuals are not healing or are healing more, we can increase the light in society. And when we come together with our pain, with our joys, our resilience and pain, we would be stronger. So for example, I came back from the United States. I don't want to say how long ago. I was called to come back. I was called from the States to help with those who were injured from the first Intifada. This was something important to me because this helped me as an individual, as a blind individual, to help those and to do something good for the persons who have challenges after injuries, whether they are physical challenges or emotional challenges. But also it was an opportunity, not just for the wounded person to be a hero, to be sung to, and then they be left alone, but to strengthen the injured person from the inside, to speak about all the personal challenges he had or they had before they were wounded, after they were wounded, and how he or she can find their strengths and move on with life. So this is an example how we do not come from nothing. Another thing that is very clear to me and I am aware of is that I come from a family of refugees, and many opportunities were taken away from us, and all that my family can do was to educate us. So when we worked with the injured of the Intifada, showed me how this affects the philosophy of life. So it was important to me to show the youth to be ostracized and not to be heroes on a pedestal, but to be part of a community. I remember, but this time in my life was amazing for me as a personally and as a Palestinian. So when I was working with them, I was working with a young woman from a village around Bethlehem, Hosan. She was transferring the injured around Bethlehem to the city of Bethlehem. So we requested. So, and she became she was paralyzed, and she became paralyzed. And we asked everyone in the community to help pave a road for her. So, and this is all intertwined. Ashira, we would like to hear from you now. I also see it as Layla does, the individual experience. So if I can't stand and help those around me, so if my cup was empty or spilled and I have no more to give, then I cannot give to the community. So if anyone who is able to have resilience, they need to also have the ability to help those around them. And sometimes we have this heap, like the person who is detained and then is liberated. They are welcomed like a hero, but sometimes we forget that this person was subjected to things a body is not supposed to be subjected to, or isolated for so much time without any human interaction. And we have the strength in front of a warden, and the warden is a strong person, but we need to stand on each other's shoulders and to carry the weight from one person to another and to spread the weight and the responsibility. There needs to be assistance to those who come out of prisons and to go back to the place to go back to a place where they can continue even or despite the fear that comes with it. So giving back the strength that the people face. So each person is subjected to trauma differently. Each person's neurological system is different. So we need different tools to help this group in individual by individual, and to help them and to give them the freedom to talk about this. Because here we are not even allowed, or we shouldn't talk about having a psychological impact from the experiences that we go through. So I think that we need to open up and to talk about this subject and to talk about healing and strengthening. And if we open up, we help each other more. If we were able to open this pathway for collective healing, it would really help. And my healing was also through going through experiences with other people. So I will now post a campaign for Hassan, the child who was injured in Dhisha refugee camp and is now paralyzed. And also we had a conference with Dr. Gabour and about healing from trauma. And what Layla mentioned, these are the connections that help us to heal together. And we are trying to get Hassan to the United States and to have or to go through his healing process. So things come together, and to be in a place where we can open this dialogue and as a way to build this collective holding place. Everything I am hearing from you goes back to the subject of this summit, the unity of the Palestinians, the unity of human beings as human beings and humanity. I would like to talk about healing as Palestinians, because our healing as Palestinians does not differ from how the West talks about healing. Because when we talk about healing in the West, it would be post-trauma, or after a person finishes or goes through not feeling safe. And I personally, and us as world, as a world, we all want healing, even if what happened to them, of course, some Palestinians see the worst of the worst. But healing is for anybody, even if you're not living under occupation or you weren't raped as a child. So these are not the only things that need healing. So to talk about healing as Palestinians, many many people are suffering from the violence of occupation every day, and they are still wanting to help the community, help themselves, heal themselves, to heal their bodies. But when I work in Gaza with women, I look at them and say, how can I tell this woman, go do an hour of yoga every day? This is something that might work for someone else. And I know, Ashira, you do Kundalini yoga, because this yoga differs from what we see usually, because it focuses more on trauma that can heal Palestinians more. Of course, for any person, healing becomes different. Sometimes yoga is amazing for some Palestinians, which would help them find grounding. Some people might find it differently. So I would like to hear from you about the suffering. And what do you think about this? Whoever would like to begin, go ahead. So as we know, what distinguishes the Palestinian context is that it's ongoing. It's been going on for 74 years, and there is confinement, there's a siege, there's dividing the society. And the division and the fragmentation is going on, and the humiliation. It's a depletion war. And these checkpoints are made for humiliation. So our life is humiliated, and it's as if we're not allowed to live in peace. And it's as if those who cannot flee, is as if we are living in constant trauma. This is affecting every individual, home, and community, unless we wake up to the fact that, so we don't want to just blame the occupation, but we need to be aware of what is happening, how we are affected. We are having some, or there is some discrimination. These are Gazans, these are West Bankers, these are from the 48, these are Jerusalemites. There's many these. So I tell people, be careful. This fragmentation is to dehumanize each other. So one of the reactions that is happening is that guilt will not legitimize joy. So this is something that also scares me. I remember once there were three murders in Rafah, and I was going to organize an event for 400 and recreational activity for 400 children, and they said it's not appropriate to have recreational activity for children when there are three murders. And I told them we have everyday murders, and the parents of the children were very understanding. So what I want to say is, we can't be harsh judges on ourselves, and this is part of the reaction that is happening. Other than the psychosomatic happens, the diabetes is increasing, domestic violence is increasing, divorce is increasing. We are part of the world, but I feel that something are increasing we need to be aware of. We need to allow ourselves to cry, to laugh, to feel joy, to hold and hug those who have lost, and to work on ourselves to not lose our humanity and our soul and our spirit. This is what I care about the most. what I always say is that we don't lose our humanity. The last thing we want to say is that to not behave like the oppressed. Meaning sometimes when I take public transportation and the Israeli soldier would stop us and I asked him a question, and it was a provocative question, and the other Palestinians in the bus said, "You're gonna delay us." It's as if we always have to be obedient and sad. So we need to be aware of what is happening to us, because we are having two occupations if we are not aware. Thank you, Leila. Let's hear from you, Ashira. What you said was very important, Leila, because part of the terrorizing a society and to control a society under your shoe is to destroy the joy that we are trying to live. This is why they killed Shirin Abu Akla. They are trying to hurt us in places to destroy our spirits and souls. So you asked me what kind of therapy we have. Sometimes to go throw stones, that's a kind of therapy. Therefore, to express the anger that we have, because we have tools that your body sometimes can't control, or you can't control your body sometimes because of the anger that you feel over what is happening. So what I see and what is important to me is that to see how important this anger is when it's directed towards the occupation, that's one thing. But when the anger is so strong, it will be directed to all those around me. And this is what is happening to our neurologic system. Just as Leila said, if this is the first thing that you learned to fight in the street, in the home, or with anyone, there is this anger that will have to come out. This is how your neurosystem was programmed. That's why through the work that I am working on, and also linguistic neuro words, and also with freedom concepts, in terms to control the points at which our neurosystem is angry or is freezing. And freezing is even harder, because one of the experiments, because we are talking about trauma, a teacher once slapped me. This is one of the traumas that affected my reactions with people for my entire life. And I used to think this slap is coming, or this anger is coming from somewhere else. But these are things our body is not created for, and our neurosystem is created to protect us. And the neurosystem takes over in the places where our senses are feeling danger, and they take control and they lead. So the things that they are trying to do is to make all the Palestinians think is this way. And in Gaza, and Gaza is on the sea, So the siege on Gaza is so strong to the point where they are trying to take away the sea from them, so that they do not find joy. So if each person can find the energy to look at the sun, to thank God that they are still living, and to find the love and to be happy and to not turn into the anger machines that they are trying to make us, because this brings diseases. This will kill us. This will not kill us So this will kill us. So breast cancer in Palestine. So Kundalini, this is Kundalini yoga. Every organ in the body holds a certain kind of energy, and this energy turns according to the and fear is the energy of fear goes to the kidneys, and the way that the nervous system and to produce cortisone. So Kundalini yoga helps in this way, and I believe that, but for me, for my healing, this was very important, especially since I have ADHD, to use mantras and words to calm down and to concentrate. These are created to find peace despite the bombings and rockets that are falling on you. So that when you take a decision, this comes from a nervous system that is aware, and you have more than the options that you automatically go back to. So it helps us to be more aware and more linked and connected to ourselves. What I also did was I merged the Kundalini yoga and active meditations, which is shaking the body and to cleanse the body to continue to take on energy. So resilience happens with movement in the body, in the emotions, and to vent them and to recharge. And despite everything that is happening, you are living with personal peace. It's not always easy, but each person can do very simple things. God has given us the ability to breathe. They cannot take this away from us. To feel the breath every day, this is something that can help us change. This can help us heal. So until they take away our breath, we are here and we are being. But of course, we hope they never take it away. Yes, you are right. The breath is something they cannot take away from us, and they cannot take away. They cannot take away the willingness to heal ourselves and our community. This is something they cannot. So the question is, how do you keep the smile on your faces? How do you keep the hope in your hearts? And with all the challenges that we are facing every day, Leila. I want to say something is that it's obvious that Arabic is not my first language. I learned it at 12 years old, but when I connected with Build Palestine, I wanted to have it in Arabic because we don't connect with this in Arabic. But I am also struggling to find the words. Layla is saying, let's find the words together. So Layla is saying, so what gives you hope? It's the flute that's next to me. So what gives me hope, seriously, are two things I can think about. First of all, individually, I am very aware of myself, of my feelings and emotions when I feel tired, when I need to play, and I am very playful in life. I play, I sing, I have friends I love. We laugh and cry together, we walk. I used to ride horses, swim, and I am aware even when I am tired. So these are things that I need to do. Communication, expression, art, joy are important on an individual. So it gives me real happiness when I see that someone becomes more aware or becomes healed. I was in Libya just 2 days ago, and even from the borders, they took our passports, and I took out my flute and I began playing, and things became a little better around us. And the passport control person came and told me, "Thank you very much. This made things a little better." So I believe in small things that can improve the circumstance. Everyone is a human being, even those who are not nice. If we touched upon their feelings, things can be better around us. And even traveling across the Jordanian border is not easy, but I take it as if it's a joke from the beginning to the end, to pass it without being upset, even when they say, "Take off your jacket, and this is part of my policy." I say, "You only want me to take off my jacket? You don't want me to take anything else off?" So even our reactions, even how we react to the situations, do we want to be the oppressed, or do we want to be the depressed victims? Do we want to be individuals within ourselves, or do we want to have an impact wherever we go? But I believe that those who work are happier, those who have a place in the world. And it's not for ego. My joy comes when people change, when people are enlightened with their awareness. This is something that brings me happiness, that brings me joy. This is my flute, Layla is saying. We have 3 minutes left, so Ashira, if you can. So to myself, what gives me hope and strength is that I have faith and that everything will improve. And I think that the strength that we have and the humor, I thank God for the Egyptian blood that we have in us. But what gives us strength is to see other people that are learning. I am now holding a course, and I am seeing the persons who are healing, changing. We are still here. So this is what makes my heart glow and to continue glowing. Thank you. So we have no more questions, and then I'm very glad to hear you in the last minutes. Go ahead, the floor is yours. She's speaking in English. Power is like a ball and history said, this power and authority is like a ball. One day it's in my hand, one day it's in your hand. So the same ones who are oppressing us, who are unjust to us, sometimes when I hear a Palestinian say, "We are not good person," the occupiers were selling their souls just for a piece of bread during the Holocaust. And some people will be dealing with trauma differently. So the Holocaust ended. South Africa's situation changed. South Africa, the same thing, and in Ireland. So we need to work on our humanity. And this all shall pass. This is all I wanted to say. Thank you very much, Layla. Thank you very much, Ashira. Thank you to all those who have listened. Thank you. Now I will give the floor to Salsabil. Thank you, Layla, for this short musical piece, something else I would like to say. Honestly, until now, it was attractive discussion because your souls were beautiful. You gave beautiful vibes. And we talk about a very sensitive issue, but with your own words, in your own way, you made it something so beautiful to listen to. So thank you very much, each and every one of you. God bless your efforts. Thank you very much. So Sabita saying, thank you very much. Bless your efforts, Sreem, Layla, and Ashira. I would like to hear your comments and your opinions in the comments. We always like to remind you of the engagement on the chat, not just to be there, but also to engage and to remind your friends. And so what do you think of the topic that was mentioned? So in 15 minutes, we will be back for our final session. We're sad to finish this session, but we have tomorrow. We have more amazing sessions. The last session, the final session that we have, will be an amazing discussion about the belonging stories to Palestine, to and on a note of belonging to Palestine, we have a small video about Aya Dejani. Happy watching.